Aloha kakou. You're listening to the Aloha Friday Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio, an hour of art, culture, and ideas in Hawaii. I'm Noe Tanigawa, and we're jumping into Valentine's Day with a look at how it's done a little differently in 2020. A 2017 Gallup poll concluded that a good 4.5% of adult Americans identified as LGBT. Definitely more women in that camp. And not sure what that number would be if we added those questioning, which is the Q in the LGBTQ. It's my pleasure now to introduce you to Cameron Miyamoto, director of the LGBTQ Plus Center at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. And he's joining us today with students Paula Ray and Jungha Kim. Cameron, thank you for being here. Jungha, Paula.
Great to be here.
You know, we know that your sexuality isn't everything about you. You're three-dimensional humans. But thank you so much for coming in today to talk to us about it. You know, let's start with you, Paula. Could you just tell me about yourself, Paula?
Oh, okay. So I'm Paula Ray. I have she, her pronouns. I identify
she, her.
She, her. Uh-huh. Yes. I identify as demisexual and panromantic.
Demisexual.
Yes.
Okay. What's that?
So demisexual is part of the asexual spectrum. It's in between sexual and asexual, where demisexuals only feel sexual attraction with a very strong, very long relation, basically.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Wait now. So... okay, there's normal sexuality,
yes,
you're saying, and then there's asexual, which is?
It's the lack of feeling of sexual attraction. So it's different from celibacy, where they just don't want to have sex. Like, it's the difference between, like, maybe a priest is like, doesn't take a wife because, like, they're devoted to God, and they just don't rule out sex. And maybe, like, a teenager who just, like, doesn't want to have sex, and it's like, that's fine. They don't feel it.
They're just asexual, maybe for a time.
That's not asexual. That's more like demisexual, gray A. So it's a spectrum. There's people who definitely do not feel sexual attraction, and the people who feel it only sometimes, and the people who feel it under certain circumstances.
The idea that it's a spectrum was so huge and so new for me, because I always thought it was just we're either sexual or asexual. Mm-hmm. And then just this past year, my students were teaching me that being a spectrum, it's so much more complex and rich. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things I learned about asexual identities is for some folks on that spectrum, they're saying things that, like, sex is just one of the things that exists in the world, and it's so insignificant in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't see why I should have that be part of my identity. Mm-hmm. And when I was hearing about that, I was thinking, okay, I'm getting a better understanding of what it might be to describe someone who identifies on the asexual spectrum.
Well, in the professional world, you know, sexuality is really sort of repressed anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that actually helps. Huh. So you're demisexual.
Yes.
You use she and her pronouns.
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of a baseline, just getting to know how to talk with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jungha, mm-hmm. How would you identify?
So I use they, them pronouns. I am non-binary, which means I don't align myself with the gender binary. And sexuality-wise, I identify as queer. Not gay, but queer.
Okay, help me with this one now. So you don't identify as either male or female,
mm-hmm.
and queer. So you would be attracted to people who also do not identify as male or female.
Yes. So the reason why I go with the term queer is because with sexuality, there's the aspect of who's interested in whom.
Mm.
And for me, it's a little complicated, and I'm currently working to figure that out.
Right. I mean, I just want to ask you, who are you attracted to? You know, who are you attracted to?
Oh, Chris Evans.
Oh, that's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, this is so fascinating and so complicated. Mm. I mean, you grew up getting those little, you know, pastel candy hearts with so sweet and whatnot stamped on there, right? Mm. At what point did that start to feel a little strange?
For me, I always, like, thought about love. So if you ever heard about, like, the Greek the Greek definition of love, where there's different words for love that that mean different things. Like there's agape, which is the godly love, and then there's eros, which is sexual love, and then storge, which I believe is family love. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on. So whenever I think of the candy hearts, I just thought, oh, okay, that's just like us being friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, like, especially with love, there's such a romantic, like, Western connotation to it.
Yes.
And we really do neglect, like, the love we have with our friends and our family.
That's making me think about how we celebrated Valentine's Day with our LGBT group at UH. Yes. Oh. So we kind of renamed it, and we gave Valentine's cards to each other that I bought from Long's, but we redecorated them and did a Palentine's Day exchange. So we affirmed each other roles in each other's lives and the fact that we're friends and get along and found a group that understands each other. We don't have to explain ourselves to each other, so we were each other's Palentines.
Yeah, I mean, you're reminding me of a Valentine card I saw recently. It says match made in heaven, and heaven was crossed out and it said Grindr.
I mean, yeah, Grindr is not heaven.
Well, how do you meet? How has it been evolving in your understanding of your sexuality?
So how do we meet?
Well, I think I'd rather go back to that other question. How has it been evolving your sexuality as you were growing up?
Oh, so I was raised in a conservative Korean household, also Roman Catholic. So I did attend an all-boys Catholic high school over here. Mm-hmm. And so until around late middle school, I didn't really understand why I was feeling the way I'm feeling.
You were feeling, how did you feel?
I was feeling attractions towards other men in my class.
So middle school, it sort of started, you realized that this was an attraction. Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I didn't have the definition for it. I just kind of thought, oh, okay, this person's like the person I want to be best friends with. Yeah. And so I was constantly trying to put a label on that. And like throughout high school, I did a year in Fairfax, Virginia for a marching band thing. And over there, I joined a GSA and
What's
meeting.
That?
Oh, it's a Gay Straight Alliance. I believe they go by Gender and Sexuality Alliance now, though.
Oh.
And so there were other students who had years of experimenting with their identity, support from meaningful adults. And so I got to learn a lot from them. And from them, what I learned was that for what was right for me isn't always going to align with everyone else's, and that what was right for me is to acknowledge that my sexuality, the labels that I go with, are evolving just as I am, and that my comfort can be found in that growth and change.
You're almost making me wonder if a lot of heterosexual people maybe have never asked themselves the questions you're talking about, and and don't know what the answers might be. You know, because we don't ask ourselves that many questions about love. It's kind of, it's been sort of like this pat thing that was understood that was one way, right?
Yeah.
Huh. And if you're looking for something different in that, you have to feel your way toward it.
Yeah, a lot of us spend a lot of time trying to figure that out because we just get so much information from larger society that just doesn't make sense. And it was like, I'm trying to figure out why don't I feel like this applies to me as a kid growing up. So it points to like how I might have a feeling of being a little different. Maybe
you just,
I'm perceived
I just don't
as
feel
being,
that way.
Okay, when Jung-ha was talking, my first memory was kindergarten. And I didn't think of myself as gay, but I had three of us, Eric, Naomi, and I, got in a fight in the tricycle room because we were arguing about who was going to marry who. And it was just an innocent little thing where Eric wanted to marry Naomi, Naomi wanted to marry Cammy, and Cammy wanted to marry Eric. And before we knew it, we were like throwing the tricycles around and had to get the whole tussle broken up. But it's kind of like knowing that in that kind of playful, naughty innocence, knowing that things aren't just the way that they're always told they're going to be, of male, female, happy marital bliss. And at the same time, as a kindergartner, I went by Cammy, and people always thought I was a girl, and I was cool with that. And the only time I remember being upset that people thought I was a girl was when our principal was the substitute for my kindergarten class. And the principal was giving out the award at the end of his time with us by saying, best little girl, best little boy, get an award. And he presented me the best little girl award. And I was like so excited. So I went up to go get my award. And then the class started laughing and saying, Cammy's not a girl, he's a boy. And then the principal took my award away. So I wasn't actually upset that I was outed as a boy, but the fact that I didn't get the award, which I guess shows something about my personality.
Yeah, a lot about our community is more like a journey and exploration of ourselves. When you're part of a community, you're not just like, oh, I'm definitely this, get away. It's like, hey, I think I might be this, and let me see what else about it.
And I think that's one thing that's exciting about being part of the LGBTQ plus community is like we are a cohesive community based on stuff that what we have in common is that we're not the same. It's just like what we have in common is we're not straight and cisgender. And it's kind of like, how do we have comfort and meaning in that? It's really kind of exciting to see. And it's changed so much the way it is when I was in college in the 80s as just a typical little gay boy. And now it's so much more rich and complex when I see the different kinds of identities that are lived with our students.
No kidding. These different identities, Jung-ha. We've just scratched the surface of this whole spectrum.
Yeah.
I wonder how we can go deeper, how we can keep this conversation going. I really do. What kinds of things do you deal with in your coffee hour?
Oh, coffee hour. So coffee hour is more like, hey, everybody, what have you been doing? Let's have fun. And if we have a speaker, we'll be talking about whatever the speaker is talking about.
When do you meet?
Oh, so we meet on Wednesdays, and we meet from 3 to 4. So whoever doesn't have class comes over, and we talk story, we introduce ourselves. We always introduce ourselves with our pronouns. So if anyone forgets or if everyone is new, they feel comfortable since everybody's doing it.
One thing that I do enjoy about coffee hour is that the asking of pronouns is a regular, normal thing. And for people like me who identify outside of the gender binary, or even for people who are transgender within the binary, having that person who initiates and say and asking for their pronouns can mean the world, because we know immediately that it's a safe space where we can be ourselves.
Help me to do this on a regular basis. When I just meet people, should I ask them, what are your pronouns? What should I say?
One thing that I like to do is offer my pronouns first to show them that I am familiar with the concept. So I'll say, hi, my name is Jung-ha Kim, and I use they, them pronouns. And if they know about it, they'll catch on. It's kind of like saying I'm a friend of Dorothy's, but for gender.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. You've really opened some windows for me, and I hope for the audience.
And in a political context, one way of saying it is that I do that as a cisgender ally.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, all of you. We've been talking with students Jung-ha Kim and Paula Ray, also with Cameron Miyamoto from the LGBTQ Plus Center at UH Manoa. Hey, Valentine's Day isn't exactly a cakewalk for monogamous heterosexuals either, let me tell you. The expectations. There's only one thing that makes it worth it, and that's the feeling. Let's turn to Marianne Ito about that. She's an example of Hawaii's particular kind of magic, Samoan Japanese. Marianne hit the soul charts in the UK with her breakthrough recording several years ago. Marianne Ito describes the feeling that can overtake us.